Lord tells us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Welcome to the Word in Motion with Pastor Chuck Kane from Calvary Chapel of St. Clair County. Now let's get into our study with Pastor Chuck.
Pray that he may interpret what he says. Now, that's kind of a hidden verse, seems like, to most people who are in the churches that promote the tongues. I haven't heard anybody really encourage them that, you know what, when you pray that way, you should ask the Lord for the interpretation. But the Lord says here, if you're going to do this, then pray for the interpretation. Verse 14, for if I pray in a tongue, and here's Paul using himself as an example, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So he's saying that he doesn't understand it either when he prays in this gift of tongues. He doesn't understand what he's saying. He says, so what shall I do? He said, I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my mind. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my mind. If you are praising God with your spirit, how can one who finds himself among those who do not understand say amen to your thanksgiving, since he does not know what you're saying? So notice he's saying, okay, you come to church, you're using your gift that God has given you. You're speaking in this other language, and what are you doing? You're praising God, and even calls it a thanksgiving. So who is that directed to again? It's directed to God, just like it says here. So you come and you're doing that, but the person who's next to you, they don't know what you're saying. They can't say amen because they're really not sure what you're saying. And if they do say amen, I agree, they can't really agree because they don't know what they're agreeing to. Okay? So think that one through with me, that if a person is saying, well, I'm sitting here praising the Lord, you should praise the Lord with me. I have no idea what you're saying, you know? I don't mean it bad. You could be reading off a grocery list or something for all I know. I have no clue of really what you're saying. Okay? So he says, it's hard to say amen if you don't know what the person is saying. Verse 17, you may be giving thanks well enough, but the other man is not edified. He's not built up because it had no effect on him. He just kind of maybe nonchalantly saying amen and hoping it was a good amen and not a bad one, you know. Verse 18, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Now, that's an interesting statement by the Apostle Paul. I don't know how he knew that, other than maybe he spent most of his time speaking to the Lord, okay? And when people weren't around him, that may be well what he was doing. We do notice something about the Apostle Paul. He is pretty built up in the faith, okay? So it's very possible he was a serious, sincere man of prayer and spent a whole lot of time praising the Lord. And the Lord encouraged him and built him up that way. Somehow, I don't know if the Lord gave him a word of knowledge on this or what, but somehow Paul was able to say, I speak in tongues more than all of you. Okay? He says, but in the church, now there's the key. In the church, he said, I would rather speak five intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. And boy, I'm sure that was an eye-opener for this church at Corinth. Now, I don't know if you've seen this. I've seen this. Some of these television guys that flaunt their stuff up there, you know, they'll get up there and use that gift of tongues like they're really somebody. And I know a couple guys were even using it supposedly to tell jokes to one another. And I'm thinking, you really need to read this chapter. You're not doing anything close to what this describes as the gift of tongues, okay? All they're doing is trying to make themselves look spiritual. And to me, it's a shame and a very bad thing they did something like that, because it discredits this beautiful gift that God has given to the body of Christ. Okay? Yeah, he says he'd rather speak five words that are going to help you than to speak 1,000 words in some language you have no clue of what's being said. Verse 20. Brothers, stop thinking like children. Boy, what a rebuke to this body of believers. He's saying, grow up. Don't be so immature. And boy, the Lord can level us sometimes when we're going the wrong direction. But that would be the same message the Lord would give to any church today that's out of whack and out of balance with these gifts. He would say, stop thinking like children. It's time to grow up. And he says, in regard to evil, be infants. And what does an infant know about anything? They don't know anything, right? So he's saying we don't need to be investigating evil. We don't need to spend a lot of time focusing on evil, just to even understand it. He said just be an infant as far as that stuff is concerned. It's okay to think like a child there. But in your thinking, be adults. In the law it is written, and he's going to really hit him with something here too, through men of strange tongues and through the lips of foreigners, I will speak to this people. But even then they will not listen to me, says the Lord. Now in the Old Testament, the nation of Israel was not paying attention to the Lord. And the Lord said, I've tried through the prophets to send you a message. And although it was a hard message, it was a message of love. And they got upset, like with Isaiah, and that's where this comes from. They were saying, Isaiah is talking to us like he's a school teacher and we're little children. And they didn't like that. That hurt their pride that God was trying to communicate to them on that level. So the Lord said, well, I've got another way to speak to you. And you're really not going to like that one. If you think this one is bad, there's another one coming you really won't appreciate. And the idea of the other languages that are going to be spoken to them, that was the language of the Assyrians. Because they were going to come and they were going to wipe out most of the nation of Israel in the northern section. And they were going to take the rest of them into captivity. So they were not going to like it when they heard a different language they didn't understand. But again, that was God speaking to them, calling them to repentance. Okay, so the Lord lets them know that tongues have been used before. You don't want them used for judgment. You want them used for blessing. Okay, verse 22. Tongues then are a sign not for believers, but for unbelievers. And we saw that in Acts chapter 2. Who were the people that heard that great noise and were confused by it? Those were the unbelievers. So God did use that tongue gift for a sign to reach people that didn't know him, to draw them in, to be curious and say, what is this? What's going on? Okay? Now, think about this with me too. If God intends on using that gift that way, then it makes sense to me also why the enemy would be so upset with that gift, because it is a powerful gift that the Lord can use to draw people into himself out of curiosity, that they might say, how is that happening? You never learned that language? How do you know how to speak things like that? And I've heard stories in our time period where that has happened, where someone has been praying to the Lord in that gift, and others have overheard them and said, how do you know the dialect from where I am from? Very similar to the book of Acts. The Lord has used that. And that person has come to the Lord through that. It's been amazing just to see the Lord continue to use that gift. Okay? So tongues then are a sign not for believers but for unbelievers. Prophecy, however, is for believers and not for unbelievers. Alright? And he's saying that the design of these gifts, as you pray to God and someone comes across your path and they hear you praying to him in this unknown language, it's very possible that the language you're using is the language that person hears coming by, and it might draw them to the Lord, okay? And it's not, again, that you stand on the street corner and pray this way and flaunt that or anything. It's just as you go about your daily life, there may be times you're praying to the Lord and all of a sudden the Lord brings someone across your path and he might use that gift for that very reason. Okay? It's happened. It's very possible that the Lord could do that. But the design of the gift of prophecy is for the body of believers to be strengthened, to be exhorted, to be comforting, okay, and comforting to other people. Verse 23. So, if the whole church comes together, and we're having a church meeting like this, and everyone speaks in tongues, and that happens in churches still today. All right, it's still going on. I don't know if you've been in churches like that before. I have. And as you're in the crowd and they're having their worship time and their praise to the Lord, all of a sudden everybody starts speaking in tongues, okay? And look what it tells us here. If the whole church comes together and everyone speaks in tongues, and some who do not understand or some unbelievers come in, will they not say that you are out of your mind? Now it's saying that, can you imagine, you go into a place and you hear all these different languages going on and you don't recognize one of them, you might think, are these people crazy or what is going on here? Okay, I know I'm in an English-speaking country, so I'm expecting to hear a little English in here somewhere, and I'm not hearing any of that. Okay, he said the first thought they would have is they might think you're out of your mind. And remember in the story in Acts chapter 2, even though God was going to use this in a powerful way, there were people there who were confused by it. Remember some of the folks said, well, these guys must be drunk, you know. So it does bring a bad reaction if that person isn't being open to the Lord at the moment. Okay, verse 24. But if an unbeliever or someone who does not understand comes in while everybody is prophesying, Now notice, the picture this, okay? Someone comes into the church here and we are all building each other up in the faith. We're all encouraging one another to obey the Lord. We're all comforting one another. When they come into a setting like that, you know what they see? They see God's love in action. And it says here, that person, if they come into that kind of setting, they will be convicted by all that they are a sinner, and they will be judged by all, and the secrets of their heart will be laid bare. And it's talking about that powerful love of the Lord, that as this gift is being exercised in the body of Christ, that person comes in and they will be humbled, okay, because it's the power of God that's evidently there. People just don't do this to each other. You know, they just don't encourage each other, build each other up, encourage the person to obey the Lord and comfort one another. That just doesn't happen normally, all right? And if you don't believe me, just visit some other churches and see what goes on, you know. You'll see that it's really not happening as it should. But Paul said, man, if we had this kind of thing going on, look what the end result would be. He will fall down and he will worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. Now, you know, the Lord tells us that it's his kindness that brings people to repentance. And I think when they come into a setting like that, they're seeing that love of the Lord, that kindness of God that's being exhibited. And it's hard to get past that kind of love. And it says the secrets of their heart will be laid bare. And it's amazing. Sometimes when the gift of prophecy is working in the fellowship, that's exactly what goes on. We were talking about that before. Somebody was giving the message on a Sunday. A visitor walks in the door, and as they're sitting there, their life is being laid out before everybody. You know, and the speaker doesn't know that person, but their life is just being laid out, and it's like, whoa, how did all this happen? And that was that gift that's working in that person's life as the Lord is working these things out. Okay, so the Lord tells us if you want to focus on one gift, this is one you really should focus on because it would be that powerful in the body of Christ as we meet together. Okay, verse 26. And I like the New King James translation on this one. It says, "How is it then, brothers?" And the NIV, I don't like the way they have it so much here because it doesn't bring out that emphasis, because Paul is rebuking the people here, okay, at the church at Corinth from what their service normally looks like. It says, when you come together, everyone has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. So when that body of believers came together, it was chaos. Everybody had something they wanted to do, and they were going to get it today. They were going to get their piece said. They were going to get it out in the open, and everybody was going to do it, even if they had to just do it over top of other people. So this is what was going on. Now it says, let all these things be done for edification. So it's saying there's nothing wrong with any one of these gifts mentioned, but they're to be done to edify the body, to build the body up. That's their purpose. Okay? Verse 27, if anyone speaks in a tongue, two or at the most three should speak, one at a time, and someone must interpret. If there is no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and God. So what's it saying? There has to be order. That's what the Lord tells us. Because God is a God of order. He's going to talk to us about that in a minute. But it's saying, if there is no interpreter, what should you do? You don't put it out there. Now, think this through with me, okay? Because this is, when you read what this says in this passage, it's a lot different from what you may have seen in church, okay? I've been in churches before where, like I said, people have stood up and they've given this saying in this other language, and then everybody just kind of waits. You know, is the Lord going to tell us what that was? You know, and everybody's kind of waiting on that. Well, the way this passage talks, you have to check if there's an interpreter there first. You have to find out, is there someone here who has the gift of interpretation? Because the Lord has laid something in my heart today that I want to share with you, and it's in the gift of tongues. Okay? Now, he said, if you exercise the gift that way, and a person says, I have the gift of interpretation, well, then guess what? Those people have to work together at this. This one person says, okay, I'm going to tell you what's on my heart, and they say their praise to the Lord. And the person who is the interpreter interprets that praise to the Lord, and then everybody can say, amen. We agree with that. Okay? But what happens if there's not an interpreter? And I've had people ask me that as we went through this passage before when I was teaching at the school over in St. Louis. They said, what if there's not an interpreter there? I said, well, what does it say? Be quiet. It's pretty simple. You know, the Lord gave us these directions. Yeah, don't even put it out there. But you know what? I don't mean this bad, but there's some folks who really want you to know, I've got that gift, you know? And they want to come to church and let everybody know they have that gift. So they stand up and they take over, okay, by doing that. Now, what we have is our procedure here is, it's not to be done. That's interrupting the service. It's interrupting what the Lord's intended, okay? There's a time and a place for the use of the gifts, and it's not for the sake of interrupting, okay? So when we have small groups and we're in our fellowship and intimacy with the Lord, then there's a time for us to have that happen, you know, where someone might say, well, I have the gift of interpretation. When someone says, I have a message for the Lord today, I want to praise the Lord in front of you with this gift, and I want you to be edified too, so I want an interpreter here. There's a time for that, okay? So everything is to be done decently in order. That's where we're headed in the end of this passage. That's what the Lord wants, okay? But it's not to be out of order. It's not to be chaotic. And why? Remember what the Lord said here. If people come in and they see that chaos, what are they thinking? They're not thinking, oh, God is here. They're thinking, I'm scared. What's going on? You know, somebody's not right in their mind here, okay? So that's their thought. But everything's done decently and in order. That's a whole different story, isn't it? Now people have say, oh, okay, I get it. That person said this, and this is what they were saying, because here's the interpretation of that. Okay, I see what's going on. Now, most of the time, I think when that happens, it's when there are people from other language groups that are there. And Lord's going to use that in a powerful way to let them know he's here and he's talking. Okay? So it's not something for show at all, if you read the passage carefully. And that's why I say it's a challenge for us, because you don't really see it exercised the biblical way in a lot of churches that I've been to. They don't follow that. All right? So let's go further then. Verse 29. Two or three prophets should speak, and the other should weigh carefully what is said. And if a revelation comes to someone who is sitting down, the first speaker should stop, for you can all prophesy in turn so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. Now, realize who he's talking to. Here is a church at Corinth, that is extremely gifted. They apparently have a lot of gifts working in that church, and everybody wants to use their gift. So he's saying, look, there's nothing wrong with the gift. You can use your gift, but it has to be in order, especially as a picture of what God is like. If someone walks in the door, they don't know what's going on. Because if we don't do it in order, they're going to think God doesn't have his act together either, okay, if you think that one through. And God wants people to know that he has his stuff together and that he can help you in your life, okay? So it goes on then, verse 32. The spirits of prophets are subject to the control of prophets. And that's an important thing too, because some people would say, well, it just hit me all of a sudden, I had to let it out, you know? No, that's not what the Bible tells us. And you want a good example of how the spirit of the prophet is subject to the control of the prophet? Think of Jonah. He's a bad example, I know. But here's a guy who's a prophet and has a message from God to deliver. And did he say, it just came out, I couldn't help it? No. He said, I'm not telling him. That's control, okay? And why that is, I don't understand. The Lord has given us control over some things, you know, but he has said that he expects us to control the gift he has given us. It's not a blurted out kind of a thing. Jonah had full control. Now, when Jonah spoke, it was powerful, wasn't it? All those people repented when they heard that message of judgment. Very powerful. He was carrying that powerful message all that time. Okay? Same guy, same message, same power. He had control over when he was going to say it. Now, here's a funny thing, too, kind of as a side note. Jonah wasn't happy about it before he gave the message, and he wasn't happy about it after he gave the message. So I learned from that that the Lord even works in our weak areas, okay? He's going to still work through us even when we aren't right, okay? Because Jonah had some issues there he needed to deal with. And that encourages me, too, because in the churches that even are out of balance with the gifts, the Lord is still working because he works in our weaknesses, okay? It's kind of strange for us to think. We would think, well, for our setup, we'd have a perfect church, and then the Lord would work. But if the Lord waited for that, we wouldn't see much, would we? So the Lord works through us even in our weaknesses. So be encouraged, all right? All right, goes on in verse 33. For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. And you might have a different word there. That word is translated disorder, disturbance, confusion. And it's saying that God is not like that at all. So guess what? He doesn't want his church to look like that either. He doesn't want it to look like there's a disorder going on, that there's disturbances going on all the time, that there's a lot of confusion. He doesn't want that. He wants it done decently and in order. It goes on that, as in all the congregations of the saints, women should remain silent in the churches. They are not allowed to speak, but must be in submission, as the law says. If they want to inquire about something, they should ask their own husbands at home. And that word women, you can tell, is talking about wives in the congregation. It says, for as it is graceful for a woman to speak in the church. Now, notice this issue he's dealing with in the church at Corinth. What do you think was going on as you read that statement right there? Talk about confusion and interruptions and things going on in the church. As they're having their service, the ladies were interrupting and say, wait, what's this mean here? Why is this going on here? And they're questions that could have been answered at home by the husband, okay? And that's what the context is telling us here. Now, in the background, what I have found out is the Corinthian area, the women there, were really not allowed to be speaking, okay, in their culture. It was a place where the women didn't have any authority. They were looked down upon. They weren't in the educational system. They weren't included in that. So now here's a lady from that kind of culture who gets saved and now realizes, I'm free in Christ. I'm an equal now, okay? We are all the same in Christ. So as they come into the church, they're going to use that a little bit, okay? They're going to stand up for that new right they have in Christ. But the problem is, it's going to cause problems in the church. Okay, so it says here, in your culture especially, you need to follow this practice. All right, nothing wrong with the ladies learning, he's saying, but they need to learn at home because they haven't been given the same education that the men were in that culture. Okay, and then it says, did the word of God originate with you? And so this church at Corinth were able to say, we got all this from the Lord, the way we practice our confusing church service, okay? So did the word of God originate with you? Are you the only people it has reached? If anybody thinks he is a prophet or spiritually gifted, let him acknowledge that what I am writing to you is the Lord's command. If he ignores this, he himself will be ignored. And I like the translation that says, if he is ignorant on this, let him be ignorant, okay? So if there's a guy in the church that says, well, I'm a prophet of the Lord, and I don't think that's right what Paul just wrote to us. He said, well, the guy's messed up on that one because this is directly from the Lord. God expects balance in his church. He expects there to be order. And this passage is very clear on that. So he's saying if a guy claims to be so spiritual and he doesn't agree, say amen to what Paul wrote, then the guy is ignorant and just leave him in his ignorance. In other words, don't pay attention to him. Verse 39, therefore, my brothers, be eager to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues, but everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way. And your translation might say decently and in order. And that's what the Lord expects. Okay? So I see it interesting here, just a couple of things. There are churches that like to ignore some of the gifts because they can't control them and they don't know how to deal with them, so they say they're in the past. They're no longer for today. That's a nice, easy way to deal with it. We'll just bury that one so we don't have to deal with it. Okay? And unfortunately, that's not allowed in the scriptures, but some have chosen to go that way. And what I see is interesting is those very churches, they love to quote that last statement in verse 40, let everything be done decently and in order. But they don't like the statement before it that says, do not forbid speaking in tongues. Now, you got to be honest here. You're going to take the whole scripture or don't take any of it. But don't be playing games, taking some and leaving the rest out. Okay? Now, for us who are open to everything the Bible teaches and are open to all the gifts that the Bible teaches us about, the Lord gives us clear direction here. If you want to focus on gifts and desire one, desire prophecy, because that'll help all of us. That's the one to be praying for. And unfortunately, I know people, and I've been there myself, where people have lifted up that gift of tongues so high, you know. In early days of my Christianity, I thought, what's wrong that I don't have that gift? Because everybody who's spiritual seems to have that gift, you know. But the Lord tells us, don't worry about praying for that gift. If you want to pray for one, pray for prophecy. That's extremely helpful to the body of Christ. Okay, so we will be praying for that in a minute there. But the Lord tells us, eager for that one, and yet on the balance side of that, don't forbid speaking in tongues. Don't say, we don't have that at our fellowship, okay? Even though the Lord says, even though we know there are churches who do, like I said, they'll bury that one and ignore it. We don't have that right. The Lord is not saying that gift is a bad gift. It is biblical. It's right here, and you just saw the Lord's explanation, okay? All right, let's go to prayer. Father, as you have given us a very clear message on how the gifts are to be used and not to take any gift out of balance, Lord, I pray you'd help us. I know there may be some who have been struggling over this issue. They have been taught before that the gift of tongues is the top of the list, Lord, and you show us here it is not. Father, I do pray that you give us that gift of prophecy, that we would be able to encourage one another and help others get built up in the faith, Lord, and comfort them. But we need you to do that, Lord. We can't do that. We can't manufacture it. We trust you to work in us what you want to work. Lord, I thank you for the folks that are here today. I pray you'd help each one with a clear understanding of your word, that they might be able to help others, especially those who are struggling as they don't understand the teaching on tongues, Lord. We just give you the praise for what you're doing. Thank you, Lord, for the great patience you have with us. We pray, too, for the churches that are not paying attention to your word. Help them, Lord, to get back in your word and to just tell it like you said it, Lord, and to believe it that way. We give you all the praise, Lord, in your precious name. Amen.
Thanks for joining us today at The Word in Motion. If you would like to hear more studies from Pastor Chuck or get information about our ministry, you can go online to thewordinmotion.org. Or if you'd like to drop us a line, you can write us at The Word in Motion, 1827 Robb Avenue, Belleville, Illinois, 62226. Don't forget to be doers of the word and not hearers only. When I talk, I speak your truth, my voice will